ready. Ready to take a ride. Grab your coffee and strap yourself in.
If you listen, I can hear God's plan.
Because the show is about to begin. You're listening to the Omega Man Radio Network.
Friends, we have a real special treat for you tonight. First time here on Omega Man Radio, Evangelist Cheryl Evenhouse. And today is a live broadcast, Wednesday, May 1st, 2024. Well, praise the Lord. Welcome, sister. And would you like to open us up in prayer tonight?
Yes, I would. I'd like that. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to present my testimony for your glory, Lord. I pray blessings over the hearers, the listeners tonight in this broadcast. I pray blessings of prosperity, healing, Lord, and deliverance to their hearts and minds and souls, Lord. And I bless everyone listening. And we thank you so much for this opportunity. And I rebuke anything that's coming against this broadcast in the name of Jesus. And we just give you all the glory. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
You know, I say amen to that. Praise the Lord. Sister Cheryl, the microphone is yours. Take your time.
Okay. All right. Thank you, brother. Yes, this is Cheryl Evenhouse. I'm blessed to be on tonight. I thank you for all tuning in tonight. I want to give God all the glory in my testimony. Everyone has a story and everyone has a testimony. And all glory to God. I just want to start out saying the Lord to take over, Lord, and be in my thoughts and mind and control my tongue, and just everything that I say will glorify you and take away all this anxiety going on right now. So, yes, I'm down here in South Texas. It's in the 90s, so praise the Lord for that. I just want to get into a little bit of history of my testimony. I was born and raised in Indiana, and they call it the Hoosier State, you know. And so I was born and raised there. I was born into a broken family, a family of seven children, and both my parents were alcoholics, and so I lived kind of like a chaotic childhood, broken. We didn't know the Lord, and that's how my life was growing up. My grandmother, she later got saved while she was in the nursing home from a teenager coming and praying, and I thank the Lord for that. So I remember her telling me that on the phone back in the day. So I just praise God that she's in heaven. I believe she's in heaven right now. And my grandmother, we come from ancestry of Native Americans. My tribe is in Oklahoma. And we, Oklahoma and Indiana is where the Miami tribe reservation is. My grandmother had given up two kids for adoption. One of the children was raised by Christians, so she started praying for our family at a young age. I later found out, so thank God for her. And so, yeah, so we went on to be raised, you know, in that type of lifestyle. When I got older, I didn't know my identity. We went through a lot of abuse and neglect. But when I got older, I learned that my great-grandfather practiced witchcraft, and he opened the doors to some generational curses. And he practiced this witchcraft called let out, where he would poke people with needles and the blood would come out, and then he would, you know, make a living, charge money, and he had a blood covenant with the enemy. And so the box the let out box is actually displayed in the Native American Archives Museum right now. And so anyway, that's where the generational curses, I believe, came in and started really affecting the family. The, you know, everything got, was like a train wreck, basically. But we had the spirit of suicide. And so, let me back up for a second. I just want to say to the listeners, I normally do not tell this story or do not tell my testimony with a young children in the room because, you know, it's a lot of heavy stuff and a lot of evil things that I have to bring out. So I'm just warning you now, if you have any children in the room, you might want to not let them hear this. So my uncle, my mother's brother, committed suicide. He left his wife and two children behind. My cousin, Randy, he committed suicide. My cousin, Stephanie, committed suicide. My beautiful 20-year-old niece committed suicide. My sister, her mother. Well, let me slow down. My niece, she left behind a newborn baby and a husband when she committed suicide. Her mother, my sister, she committed suicide. My husband, who worked his whole entire life as an engineer on the railroad, and just goes to show you the material things cannot buy you happiness. The word says, "What do you gain what do you prosper if you gain the whole world but lose your soul?" And we didn't know the Lord, and none of these people knew the Lord. So we weren't walking with the Lord, and he committed suicide. And then, to my shock, after all that, I found my teenage son, he was 16 at the time, hanging from the rafters in the garage by a rope. And I was walking out to hand him the phone, and I saw him hanging, and I yelled, it just came out, "Jesus!" at the top of my lungs. It just came out of me, and the rope broke. So he's still alive today, thank you, Jesus. And I wasn't walking with the Lord, and I didn't know the Lord at the time, but it just came out of me. So I just give God a praise for that, that he saved my son. And the curse, you know, eventually, well, I kept walking in my ways. Back in the day, I was in Nebraska at that time. And I came to the point, I remarried, and I came to the point where my life was, you know, when generational curses are affecting you, the enemy, it's like you have a target on your back, and the enemy does everything to make you, you know, for that purpose, for you to commit suicide. So I got to the end of myself, and that's when I had my moment with the Lord, because my husband was a gun collector. It would have been very easy, but I was, you know, I was done when I found out that he was like the love of my life, I thought. And I found out he was having an affair. So that was it for me. So I was going to commit suicide, but I called out to the Lord. I remember what the Lord did, you know, and saved my son. So I just simply said, "Help me," you know, and the Lord touched me right in that moment and took all the hopelessness, all the sadness, everything. He just took it right out of me. I praise the Lord for that, and filled me with the Holy Spirit. So when I came out of there, when I came out of the bathroom, I was a different person, and I've never been the same. I haven't drank alcohol in 9 years, and I was a drinker because I had to, you know, I felt like I had to cover up all that, those trauma that was going on in my life. I would always work these real stressful jobs, but when I had a day off or when Friday came along, I was always looking for the bottle because I needed that. I was addicted. So the Lord touched me, and I haven't drank for 9 years, so praise the Lord. So after that, my husband decided he did not want to walk on that narrow road, so we divorced, but the Lord took me to an African church that I was at for like 3 years, and then he brought me to the Hispanic church. And the Hispanic church is where I received my deliverance. And so I went through really, you know, the old-fashioned passed out demon type of deliverance. And, you know, it was just amazing what the Lord did with me, you know. And so I just wanted to share a little bit of that, that side of the story right now. Because I was so full of anger and bitterness that the demon of anger manifested. And all the chairs in the church, I just was manifesting this anger. And I flipped all the chairs, and I was fighting the men. But in the name of Jesus, because my pastora, who was a gifted prophet, she was praying, and every knee has to bow to the name of Jesus. So I got delivered from that. And also the Lord let me experience this. I had like a dragon type thing on my back, and I felt the wings and the tail swish behind my legs. And I actually felt the wings flutter. And so that was like out of this world, supernatural, you know. And that demon had to go in the name of Jesus. And the interesting part also is she would speak in Spanish to the demons. And then the demons would answer her in English. So that was amazing. And another thing that happened that I thought was really, at the time, I thought it was really funny, because it just shows you how much power the Lord gives us to cast out the demons. There was a brother there that was telling the demons, "Good job, Satan. Good job." the enemy was doing what he had to do because of the power of God. So thank you, Lord. So then after that, I was around the Hispanic. She has 11 churches, but she laid her life down for me, and she's so humble and walks with the Lord so powerfully that every time she talks to a person, she makes them feel like they're the only person alive. You know, she just pours out her love. It's God's love. It's amazing that how she treats people. And I went through a lot of healing through that church, and I give God all the glory. But she has 11 churches, so it's amazing, you know. But she's doing a great job, so I appreciate her, my spiritual mother, back in Nebraska. So anyway, my life was calming down and getting stable, and I had a great job, going to church, loving church, growing in the Lord. And then the Lord was, every time I pray, the Lord was like, "I'm moving you, I'm moving you." So that's how I got down here to South Texas. Because the Lord called me to be a missionary down here. So that's what I'm down here right now. And then in the summer, it's so hot down here, and I'm not used to the heat. I go up north to the Indian reservations and help out up there in South Dakota. So I just wanted to share my testimony with you all and let you know that I can relate to these children. You know, my heart is for the children right now. Like, the natives are still in bondage from generational curses. And I feel for the children, because I know the hopelessness. You know, I remember that as a child, thinking, okay, I'm a child, now I'm going to grow up to be like this, you know, like this hopeless person. So it was just all hopelessness. There was no hope. There's, you know, it's like, wow. And so I just love going up there to bless the kids. You know, I do do things, you know, whatever I can do to be a blessing to the children up there, and go up and pray for the people, because I'm a living testimony of what the Lord can do for a person, because I literally am a totally different new creation in Christ. Because back then, back in the day, well, 9 years ago, I was riding around on a motorcycle. You know, my identity, I didn't know who I was. I had really short, now I have really long hair, but I had really short hair at the time. I looked like a man. My heart was really hard. I was full of anger and bitterness. And I'm literally a totally different person. There's nothing wrong with riding motorcycles, so don't be emailing me about that. But I'm just saying that's how right. I was. I was a hard person, you know. You know what I mean? So that's, you know, that's what I've gone through.
Wow. And this is powerful. If you're just joining us, we're here tonight with Evangelist Cheryl Evenhouse. Cheryl, what tribe are you from? And you mentioned that you do ministry at the reservations. Where do you go out and work?
Well, I just go. I'm associated with Jerome Slidesoff up there.
Oh, yes.
Eagle Butte.
Yes.
And he's been on your program. God bless him. And actually, I would like your listeners to pray for his brother Randy, who is actually in the hospital right now. They texted everyone last night. So he's going through some medical issues, and we're all praying for him. So that would be great if you could lift up him in your prayers. And also, Pastor David Laysbad at the Lighthouse Church. I love him and his beautiful wife Ella. And so, yeah, that's the Lighthouse Church in Pine Ridge. So those two churches I'm associated with.
Oh my goodness, oh, that is awesome. Yes, ma'am. A number of years ago, I was introduced to a minister named Brother Marcus, who was working out at Pine Ridge, and he since went home to be with the Lord. And then I got connected with Brother Jerome Slidesoff, who is very active ministering out there to the tribes. And I'll tell you what, I begin to hear, as they would speak, about suicide. It's just prolific there.
Yes.
On these reservations, you know, and then they would see this spirit, tall man,
mm-hmm.
with a big hat. A lot of the youth reported seeing this thing, and then there would be reports of suicide. You know, the enemy, it just tried to destroy the First Nations people. And
yes,
if ever there was a need for deliverance for all of America, including the reservations, it's today, because this spirit of suicide is prolific, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's terrible. And a lot of it, you know, the Bible talks about our ancestors opened the door to the enemy when they didn't know, you know, they were lost in the world and they were doing practicing witchcraft.
Yes.
That opens the door to the enemy, so those, it just goes down generation to generation. And then when someone becomes a Christian, they start battling those spirits. And they, you know, we get the victory in the name of Jesus. So it's a big battle, you know. But for the individual to come to Christ, and then it also says that we need to repent for our ancestor. Not that we're accountable for their sin, but we need to repent for their sin against God. And so I practice that. So, you know, it's once they get saved and they start, getting evangelized in how to pray and fight and you know, spiritual warfare, then they'll start seeing victory, because God's power is the greatest.
Absolutely.
So, and they'll keep seeing change. But I really appreciate what they're doing up there. It's just amazing. I've been up there, you know every year for several years, so they know. And also the accidents, the car accidents in the Pine Ridge from bootlegging the alcohol, since they shut down White Clay, thank God they did. But
yes.
Then they have the bootleggers, And at night, you have to, not even at night, I mean, just always, you have to be in prayer when you're driving up there. And I was behind a couple, you know, really bad accidents.
Now, Sharon, let me ask you a question. I heard a number of years ago there was also MS-13 in some of the drug cartels that were infiltrating the reservations. Do you have any updates on that? Is that still a problem out there?
That I can't really speak on. I don't know, but I okay. just know that all gangs are waiting for our teenagers.
Right.
So,
isn't that the truth?
You know, we need to focus, you know, we need to get those children while they're young, and so they can learn their identity in Christ, because that our identity, you know, that's a huge thing when you know how much the Lord, what he did, you know, and how much he loves us, because God, Jesus is God's inheritance, and Jesus, we're his inheritance. It says in the Bible that we're his inheritance, and you think, wow, I'm Jesus' inheritance. It says in Malachi 3:17 that we're his jewel, and he loves us so much, and he was tortured on the, you know, every way in the, on the cross, like he wore the crown of thorns. Remember in Genesis, the thorns were the curse, and he wore the thorns on his head. He broke the curse of poverty and everything, and he just broke all the curses, and so we can have a new mind. We have the mind of Christ. His hands were pierced, so we can have clean hands, and our sin be washed away. His side was pierced, you know, so we can have a new heart and a new spirit. His feet were pierced, we can walk in peace and carry the good news, the gospel, to the nations. And if only we can know how much the Lord loves us and how he sees us. Because this world, you know, we weren't born in this world to know our parents. We weren't born here to know our children, because our parents leave, they die, and our children grow up and they move on. And our brothers and sisters, they have their own life. We were born in this life to know Jesus and know how what he did for us and his love for us. And once we can get a hold of that, he's all we ever needed. And it's amazing. It's amazing to me.
Absolutely.
But that's what the Navy needs to know, the truth. The truth will set them free.
You know,
and so, yeah.
You mentioned the pattern of suicides. That's definitely indicative of a generational curse. And, you know, we may see suicide, other things, cancer running in a family, serial divorce. You know, a number of things can be indicative of generational curses. Now, I also was, have to say, a victim of a generational curse. We didn't have suicide, but there was premature death on my dad's side of the family. Great-grandfather dies at 52. My grandfather died at 58. My father died at 57. And I was suffering from depression and mood swings. And I cried out to the Lord, and I had a dream. And he spoke to me in my dream, Cheryl, one night back almost 20 years ago. He said, you and your brother Damon have a generational curse you need to break. That was what I heard verbatim.
Wow.
I woke up, realized I'd fallen asleep on my couch. From the night before, and I got my Bible, it was sitting on the armrest, and I opened it up, and just as soon as I laid my eyes on Scripture, bam, the dream comes back. And my brother Damon called me about 2 days later and said, hey man, I got this book. I want you to check it out. And I said, I got a dream you got to check out. So he told me his book title. It was by Derek Prince, called The Blessing or the Curse, you choose. And then I told my brother Damon what had happened to me, and God was speaking to us. We had issues, and the issue was sins of the fathers, and as we investigated it, turned out my great-grandfather was a master mason. He had gotten involved in the occult. Freemasonry is occultic, and so it brought a curse. Yeah. And so, folks, we can do things in our ancestry, ancestors can, that can have effects on us, and demons will try to get you and I to do the same thing as they did and perpetuate this curse. So this stuff's real. The good news is, there was a way for us to be free. And during this program tonight, Cheryl, I would like maybe you to lead people through a prayer that we could break some of these curses. But before we do, hey, I just recalled a few years ago, Brother Jerome told me that there was an incident where they came up against a thing called the white buffalo calf woman in this pipe.
Yes.
Do you know anything about that?
Well, yes, they told me about that also. They have their different rituals and things that they did that brought up these different demons. They're demons that disguise themselves.
Yes.
And I don't know specifically. I don't know about that, but I do know that a lot of Native Americans worship animal spirits and shift-changing type spirits.
Oh yes,
and they're very, very deadly and evil, and they're after, you know, like they're after the families. They're out to destroy
shapeshifters. And what is it that's part of the tribe of the Navajo, where people do black magic and they take on the skins of animals?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Come to me in a minute.
The dream catchers and all that, that's a no.
Skinwalkers,
a lot of witchcraft going on there.
Yes. Glad you brought that up. What is a dream catcher? Because people see them, oh, this is kind of beautiful. Looks like a piece of net with feathers and beads hanging from it. What does that mean? The dream catcher.
A dream catcher is, you know, it's kind of like a portal for the enemy. It allows openings for your dreams, for the enemy to come into your dreams. I mean, I don't know. It's just,
well, that's a perfect explanation.
A lot of witchcraft, you know. But also another thing is a lot of sexual sin, a lot of the rape, like I don't normally say this, but tonight I'll say it. Most of my female relatives were either raped and or molested.
Wow.
In my bloodline. Yeah. So, you know, if you're looking at my, in the worldly way, if you're looking at my family saying, well, look at all these suicides, they must have, you know, must have just had mental illness to do something like that, you know. But if you look and say, wow, this person at this age got raped, and this, you know, this person, there's no explanation but a curse, you know. So that's terrible, you know, it's a terrible thing. So there's been a lot of trauma done in my family. Destruction.
Yes. Yes.
So,
you know, the enemy.
And there's a lot of that that's going on in the reservations, a lot of that rape and the kidnapping, even kidnapping.
Oh, no.
Is going on.
I didn't know about that. That's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know,
yes.
As I began to do some research and with various people that would come on and give us a little bit more pieces of the puzzle, it mm-hmm. became real apparent to me that, you know, America has a lot to repent for. And I think it was Derek Prince who actually brought this out. The late Derek Prince said, one of the biggest strongholds over America is related to a curse that's on it because how it treated the First Nations people. You know, there was over 100 or more treaties that the American government made with the Indians, First Nation people, that subsequently the government broke. And then, you know, the 7th Cavalry going up there and doing the slaughter at Wounded Knee. Just mowed people down. And, you know, the opinion of some was, if we can just kill all these Indian people, we can take all their land, we won't have anything to worry about. And so there were these campaigns of slaughter and eventually imprisoning people on land that they were forced onto, you know, that many times was inhospitable. You know, how are you going to grow anything out in the desert?
And snow.
And then, you know, people were so depressed, they turned to, you know, they were given alcohol and the food was changed. You know, so much mistreatment. Forced into these schools where you weren't allowed to speak your native language, your hair was cut, and just horrible treatment of the First Nation people. They were here first. That's why it says First Nation people. Before any of the settlers came over from England, the Pilgrims, etc., And, you know, nobody's ever repented of that like they needed to. So, you know, we've got judgment on this land. We need to repent as a nation. More than one person doing it. Derek Prince said it would take many need to come together. And
They were doing that. You know, they started doing that. I took part in some of that.
Oh, you did?
And Jerome could tell you more about it. But they used to travel to different, Jerome specifically, would travel to different tribes, and then they would stand in for each other, stand in for their ancestors, and forgive each other.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh, now that's beautiful.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Of course, it needs to be done intertribe, but also, you know, the American government as a whole needs to repent officially. Yes. And, you know...
And the blood cries out from the ground.
Exactly. And so many have turned to the old ways. What can you tell us about the Sundance ritual? What's that all about?
I'm sorry. I cannot tell you about that. I'm sorry.
So what I know about it is...
But if it's not about Jesus, it's wrong. That's all I know.
Yep.
Because my tribe, where I was raised at in Indiana, they didn't... You know, they were just digging up things, you know, from the ancestors to try out, you know, basically. So, we weren't involved in all the things that you're mentioning. So I'm not real up
that
on
may
that.
Have
the
been
only thing I know,
like specific
the only thing
to...
I know is my family was cursed, and my grandfather, and the Lord showed me.
Yes.
And through deliverance, I found out. And I had a vision of blood drops when I was in South Dakota.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't know exactly what that meant, but then I found out about what my great-grandfather was practicing, that let out, that he would poke people's needles and their blood would flow out. And I think that's what that vision was. The Lord was showing me the curse that was on my family. And so, thank you, Jesus. You know, so
blood
I was
sacrifice to the demons. Yes, absolutely. Where a curse would come in. Is that tied into what we see today across America with people cutting themselves, cutters?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's self-hate. That's self-hate. You know, the Lord, the enemy is hate. There's no love in him. So if you don't have the spirit of love, then you have the spirit of hate, and it wants you to hurt yourself. It's a tormenting spirit that wants you to hurt yourself, you know. So, I mean, it causes all kinds of things. But yeah, and that would be because they would bleed. So that would be sacrificed to the demons.
Absolutely, I would caution people against getting tattoos because, you know, there's blood being shed.
Yeah.
Not to mention the symbology. Some of these symbols have occult powers behind them that people are putting on their skin. But you're sacrificing blood, folks, for that tattoo. And you can even get a soul tie between you and that tattoo artist. And, folks, this is real stuff. We're in warfare.
Yeah.
Now, Cheryl, how receptive are...
I have a tattoo.
So they're probably plenty of people out there. I just don't recommend going and getting any more.
yeah, right. I have a tattoo, but what happened was my pastora, I had to repent, and they put oil over it. You know, we prayed, you know, against anything that brought in, you know, because, and then people will try to justify these, you know, but Christians today, you know, they're trying to justify, well, that's okay to go do. Well, you better check that out with God and not, you know, just...
Absolutely.
You know, just don't think about, well, that person did it, so am I, you know. You got to have the fear of God, because you can't play with God. You got a lot of people flirting with the devil, and it's not a game. He's out to kill you and your family.
Oh, yes. He's looking for a way in, folks. Again, back to those dream catchers. People are told, well, if you put this above your bed, it will ward away evil spirits. No, the opposite's happening. Just like Cheryl said, you're opening up your dreams to these evil spirits that want to come in and attack you and your family. Cheryl, how receptive are people out on the reservations to deliverance?
I think that they're, they want it. They want to change, but there's a need for an actual like detoxing, because they're, I mean, when I got touched, it was like instant. So I don't know, but it's such a problem, and but I know that nothing's impossible with the Lord. So I do believe that they want help. They want the help. A lot of them want the help. But they're stuck in the generational curses, and they need, you know, someone that's sticking in there with them, like Jerome. Oh my gosh! I mean, he's really stuck with it.
Yes.
And so everyone needs to pray for him. And so he's a light in the darkness, so up there, you know.
Absolutely.
And,
now,
have you? We just need to keep him in prayer. We need to keep him in prayer.
As you've been out there ministering to the tribes, have you encountered any pushback from the shamans?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
Okay, good.
I've come across a few people, you know, that were against the, you know, they're into traditional ways, so they get offended, you know. But it's just because of lack of knowledge, you don't understand.
Right.
And they're trapped. That's the enemy trapping. But I'll tell you one thing, when last time I was up there, this young boy came in. He was probably about 10 years old. He came in, he says, "Hey, I want to know the Lord." I was like, "Really?" I was like, "Wow, that's awesome."
Wow.
So, you know, he actually came in off the street and said, "I want to know the Lord." And we prayed with him. He received Jesus. We gave him a Bible. You know, I mean, and he, you know, he had, his home life was a wreck. And that's what they need. The kids need to know that it's Jesus is the way, and he's the answer, and never leaves us. He's always with us, and we can trust him, and we can turn to him.
If
so
you
my
just
heart
joining
for
us,
the kids. Yeah, it was
we're
awesome.
Live with evangelist Cheryl Evenhouse. Cheryl, there may be someone out there that's listening tonight to the testimony and said, "Hey, I've got some of that in my family. I know there's got to be something wrong, and how do we stop this?" Can you lead people through a prayer and some ministry to break some generational curses tonight? How is it done?
Okay, well,
take all the time you want.
Okay. Well, we need to, you know, like we were talking about, you see a pattern. You can see patterns in the family line of destruction, of addiction, of bondage, of poverty, just the line, and sometimes sickness, the spirits of sickness come down, like cancer, death, suicide, that type of thing. You can see it. So if that's happening in your bloodline, first of all, you need to know Jesus. You need to receive Jesus in your heart, and you need to cry out to Jesus, because he paid the price on the cross, and he's waiting. He's knocking at the door of everyone's heart, waiting for someone to let him come in and help and change your whole world. So the person that's a Christian and has this going on in their family, you need to study about your authority from the enemy, because above the enemy, because the enemy is under our feet, and he has to bow his knee. And we need to receive the Holy Spirit for, you know, and we need to ask the Lord to fill us with the Holy Spirit. So, yes, yeah, so I'd like to pray right now. And we ask, just if we humble our hearts and ask the Lord to be with us and to change us and come and dwell in us, his Holy Spirit will come and dwell in you. And we just need to repent of anything, any doors open. Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. We ask, Father, that you locate the people that need help and need deliverance from these generational curses, Lord. We ask that you break every stronghold in their minds that they might have, Lord, and that you break every chain, Lord, that's holding them back, that's keeping them in bondage. I just pray for broken chains, Lord. We ask that you forgive our family, forgive our ancestors for opening doors. that to the enemy that they didn't know. Maybe they practiced witchcraft, or they were in bondage themselves, Lord. But we know, Lord, that you forgive, and we ask you for forgiveness for our ancestors, Lord, their sins. We ask that your blood cover their sins, that you remember them no more, God. We ask that you break every addiction, Lord, and free us, Lord, and give us a new heart and a new spirit, Lord. We ask for that hurting person, Lord, that you will touch them right now, Lord, that you will hug them. Let them feel your presence, Lord, and tangible presence, and let them feel you, Lord, hugging them, because you love them so much. Everyone has a purpose. Jeremiah 29:11. Everybody has a plan and a purpose in this life, and the Lord knitted you in your mother's womb. You have a purpose. He loves everyone so much. Even people that have had abortions, that have sacrificed to the Moloch God, because that's what happens when you have an abortion. We pray, Father, forgiveness. We pray for healing of the hearts, Lord, because we all have sinned against you, Lord, but we all have great futures in you, Lord, because you wash away all our sins and you give us a new heart and a new life and change us and make us into a new creation. And we just, Lord, we need you so much in America. Wow, America needs to repent, Lord. The spirit of Leviathan, the spirit of being proud, God, even in the church, my God, we just pray that you destroy all the evil that's coming against us in the churches, in the families, Lord, and help us to humble our hearts, humble ourselves before you, mighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. Who are we, Lord, that you love us? Who are we, Lord? But we are blessed, Lord. We are blessed because you will never leave us and never forsake us. So you're the only answer and the only one we can trust. And all the false gods are dead. They can't hear and they can't see. And it's an abomination. So if you're in a false religion, if you have false religion in your family, if your family worshiped idols, statues, any of that, we repent, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for not receiving you. But we want to receive you now, Lord, because we've become desperate. It's a life and death situation. We need you, Lord. We need to change, Lord. We're asking for help, Lord. We know that you will help us. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And we thank you for your blood. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you, Father, for sending your son on our behalf, Lord. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.
I say amen to that. Folks, breaking the curses is easy.
Thank you, Ben.
The problem is we haven't been taught. And so, you know, I had this generational curse, Cheryl, that had been going down the family line for decades.
Yes.
A year later, my father would die. We were not able to get him help in time. He went to the doctor for his help. And the Lord took him into heaven, but he died prematurely.
Yeah.
He never got released from the curse.
Mm-hmm.
And we're faced now with the Lord telling us, you and your brother have a generational curse you need to break. So what do you do? I thank God that freedom from the curse is available because of what Christ did on the cross. Took our sins upon him. Took the curse upon the tree. Galatians 3:13. Jesus Christ became a curse for us. To appropriate freedom from the curse, it's just like Cheryl said. We got to repent. Somebody's got to confess the sin. Admit that it was wrong. Renounce it. Whether it be ancestral or personal. Ask Jesus to forgive you. He will. and then you break that curse. So for those that have prayed that prayer tonight, whatever it is that you've done or your ancestors have done, and just saying, Lord, forgive me, forgive them for opening up doors to the occult, sexual sin, drugs and alcohol, witchcraft, in my case, Freemasonry.
Yes. Secret societies.
Secret societies, right? Just saying, Lord, forgive them and forgive me in Jesus' name. I want no part of those sins anymore. I renounce them. And right now, for those that have prayed that, we stand in the gap with you right now, and we break that curse and loose you tonight in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. We command every spirit that came in through any of these doors to loose you now, tuning in right now, and go. Every spirit of witchcraft, come out right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We break the curse of suicide in Jesus' name. Command spirits of suicide to loose you, tuning in tonight, and go. You will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord Jesus. We break the curse of alcohol, drugs off you and your family line, premature death, spirits of cancer. We break that curse, marital failure, divorce. There was 5 generations of divorce in my family. We break that curse right now. Whoremongering, sexual sin. We break that curse. Spirits of rape and incest. We bind and rebuke you. We command you to loose the people and go tonight. We break that curse in the mighty name of Jesus. Every spirit that came in through any of these portals, we rebuke you in Jesus' name. You cannot stay anymore. We command you to loose people and come out and go to where the Lord Jesus sends you. They will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord Jesus. We remit those sins, God. Forgive them. Going back as far as necessary on both sides of the family line. We close the door right now. Again, command the curse and the demons to come out. Loose you in Jesus' name right now. We speak to your body and your mind. Be healed and made whole in Jesus Christ's name. Now, Cheryl, you mentioned that the young boy came in, wanted to receive Christ.
Yes.
He received Jesus as Lord and Savior. And then you did what? You gave him a Bible. Do you recommend people get into the Bible and read?
Absolutely. The Bible is the Word of God, and it's the only it's the living Word of God. We need the Word in us. It feeds our spirit. Every day, daily, as much as possible, you need to be reading the Word to feed your spirit, and prayer. We need Jesus. We need God. We need to be praying constantly, continually praying, and interceding for our families. We all have a ministry, and our family is our ministry if we're not serving other, serving in the body of Christ. It's our families, it's our children, how we raise our children. It's so important. And there's a special grace for people with children. And so take advantage. It's the grace of God.
Isn't that the truth? So, boy, that is exactly right on target. Folks, our family is a ministry. And many of us have wayward souls that are not ready to meet Jesus if they die tonight. That's your ministry right there. And then God can expand on that and send you forth. Minister to others in other places. But we've all got a ministry. Cheryl, what contact information would you like to give out tonight? How can people reach you? And what do you need? How can they help support this work to the First Nations people?
Well, you can just, message me through Facebook. I'm on there as Cheryl Fricky. That's my, that was my married name before I remarried.
Spell that for us. How do they spell that?
F-R-I-C-K-E, Cheryl Fricky. That's where I'm on Facebook. You can message me. If you would want me to come to your church and tell my testimony, I would love that. Pray for me, please. People, pray for me. Because I have unbelievably huge prophecies over me, and I need prayer. I believe it's going to happen.
We're going to pray for you tonight.
I need coverage.
Cheryl,
also, one more thing. I pray and I encourage every person to help the natives. Pray for them, break the curses, and send your financial blessings to Jerome Slidoff up there in Eagle Butte, South Dakota, because he is a man of God and daily is out there. And David Laysbad and Pine Ridge at the Lighthouse Church, those guys are on the front lines, and it's amazing. You look them up on Facebook. And I love you guys, and I appreciate you listening to me and being a sister in Christ with you and a warrior. And keep fighting.
Cheryl,
in the name of Jesus.
Do you have an email address you'd like to give up?
Not really.
Okay. If you don't have an email, consider setting up with Proton Mail. Anybody out there looking for a good email, it's free. It's protonmail.com. And they even have an app. If you have a smartphone, you can put an app and get your email from anywhere in the world.
I have an iCloud.com. It's like the letter C, Fricky, letter C, Fricky, at iCloud.com is
okay,
my email.
So C, Fricky,
yeah,
at iCloud.com?
Yes.
Oh, okay, perfect. Sister Cheryl, would you lift up Brother Randy tonight in prayer, and I'm going to come in agreement with you.
Okay. Father, we just lift Brother Randy up, so precious brother in Christ, Lord. He's up in Rapid City, I believe. Lord, I pray that you touch him, Lord, that you have mercy on him and give him more years, Lord, that he would be totally healed, Lord, because you paid the price for his healing. We believe in the name of Jesus that he will live and he will share his testimony and the gospel. And, Lord, I just rebuke diabetes, and I pray for healing and deliverance for whatever problem, his heart problems, his eyes, his feet. Total healing in the name of Jesus Christ, because you are our healer. We believe it, Lord, it's going to happen. We love you, and we thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
I touch and agree. Let me pray for you, Sister. Father God, we thank you for your servant, Cheryl, coming on tonight. Share this powerful testimony of how you came to set the captives free. And we ask that you bless her, God, expand her territories, give her great favor. Sure, we plead the blood of Jesus over you and your family, your son. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Father God, put a hedge of protection, wall of fire from Zechariah 2 and 5 around them. Station large warrior angels to go with them wherever they travel. Give them great favor to speak and share this testimony and minister in deliverance. Bless them, God, and we also bind up and rebuke every spirit of backlash, retaliation, revenge, retribution, hindrance, or delay that would come against you from ministering for the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, God, give her everything she needs. Amen.
Amen. God bless you so much.
Cheryl, what an honor to have you on tonight. I want to get you back on. And before we go, reach out to Brother David Laysbad and invite him to come on the program. And if he'd like to come on sometime, I would like you to interview him. We could get him on the show.
That'd be great.
Also, anybody you know serving the Lord that would like to come on here and share a testimony, preach, whatever. I'm looking for some new speakers. Please reach out to them and give them an invitation. Any friend of yours is a friend of mine. And then lastly, I tried to reach out to Brother Jerome about a week ago, but I think I have a wrong number. Would you text me later? Because I've been wanting to get him back on, and I just lost contact with him. I'd appreciate it.
Amen.
Okay. Sister, God richly bless you. Talk to you again soon. Have you back on. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Folks, we'll definitely be getting Cheryl Evenhouse back on. Evangelist to the First Nations tribes. And I want to thank Pastor Lou Young of White Horse Outreach Ministries in Texas for connecting me her. And maybe you out there have someone that you know who's got a word to speak, a powerful testimony. Send them my way. We're looking for some new speakers. Okay, if you're just coming in, we had Michael Cummins on this morning from London, England. And then we had Pastor Rose Betancourt from Miracle Valley Today Church in Miracle Valley, Arizona. And Folks, we have other speakers that we would like to have on, but we've still got many out there that are sick, have not recovered yet. It's asking you to lift up in prayer. Terry Jefferson, David Measures, Elvis Newhart. I've reached out to all three, and we're ready to get them back on as soon as they recover, but they need your prayers to do that. They've been under attack. Many have been sick here recently. You don't know how many people I've encountered who have been hospitalized, sick, some out there coming in reports of cancer. And the enemy is on the war path. And so we've got to come together and pray one for the other, that we be healed in Jesus' name. We can keep on fighting because the enemy is not happy. He wants you and I to go out in a body bag or sit out the battle. But folks, it's war on the saints that has been declared, and we don't quit. If we die, we die with our boots on. And we've got some wounded warriors out there that need prayer to be lifted back up, because they're ready to speak. They have just been pummeled by the enemy. And thank all of you that will pray. We're going to come back and read some of the word. I'm going to take a break and go to a song. This is by Redbone.